Jeremiah 29. We are familiar with the letters of the apostles, but the letter of a prophet in the Old Testament is a rare thing. Yet there is a certain similarity between the motives of some of the apostolic epistles and this letter of Jeremiah. The apostles warned men against false prophets and seducers, and so did Jeremiah. Indeed, this letter may be taken as a prophetic exhortation to Israelitish exiles as to how to behave in the commencement of the times of the Gentiles. Compare 1 Timothy 3:15. It is especially interesting to think of Daniel in Babylon listening to this letter and studying the book of Jeremiah with reference to the 70 years captivity and then praying in the beautiful utterances of the 9th chapter of his book for the return of God's favor to Israel and to Jerusalem. He was a man of poor and contrite spirit and trembled at the word of God, and God looked to him and sent the angel Gabriel to enlighten him further concerning the time and circumstances of the manifestation of Messiah. The captives in Babylonia, like the remnant of the people left in the land of Israel, were in danger of being misled by the false prophets. And this was the proximate cause of Jeremiah's letter. It was a warning against their lies and presumption and against any premature expectation that would really make void the word of God concerning the 70 years subjection of all nations to Nebuchadnezzar, as already proclaimed by Jeremiah. The date of the letter and the manner of posting, as we should say, is indicated. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen, Jabira the queen mother, according to the revised version, and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the craftsmen and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. In Jeremiah 51, we read the word of the Lord which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, unto Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. This was the date of the prophecy of the fall of Babylon, but that fall could not come until the 70 years were accomplished. The date of the letter of chapter 29 was evidently somewhere about this time. The queen mother of verse 2 is supposed to have been Nehushta, the mother of Jehoiachin, the king who is so terribly denounced by God in chapter 22. That's Jehoiachin or Jehoiachin. Together with the mother that bare him, she appears to have been a brazen woman, which is the meaning of the name Nehushta, brass or bronze. It calls to mind the brazen serpent and how Hezekiah removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan, a piece of brass. Nehushta, the mother of Jehoiachin, was not the first queen mother to be deposed for idolatry. Asa, who was a better man than Jehoiachin, had himself deposed his mother, Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. The terms of the letter of Jeremiah, which contains a letter within a letter, are found in verses 4 to 23 inclusive. The substance of the divine message was that the captives were not to be misled by the false prophets, nor to indulge any premature expectations of deliverance by reason of their sayings. They were to adapt themselves to the long period that had been divinely specified and wait God's good time. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. As in the land of Israel, so in Babylonia, there were false prophets pandering to the popular dreams and declaring that the captivity should be of very short duration. And God warned the exiles not to be deceived by these, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And the 70 years prophecy for Babylon is repeated till the very time of his land come. Then, and not till then, God would perform his good word toward Israel, for it should be good at last. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The expected end of Israel is eternal inheritance, according to the terms of God's covenant with David. And the word of God here seems to look beyond the restoration from Babylon to the kingdom of God that is still in the future. And then the word of God turned to the false prophets to whom the exiles were disposed to listen, saying, "The Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon." These prophets would be discredited by events soon to happen. As Jeremiah had already said, if they be prophets, let them make intercession to the Lord, that there be no further captivity. For thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwell in this city, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And I will deliver them to be removed to all kingdoms of the earth, because they have not hearkened to my word. The reference to the vile figs pointed directly to Zedekiah, king of Judah, the last occupant of the throne of David in Jerusalem. And the fall of Jerusalem and the completion of the captivity in his days was the final justification of the word of God against the dreams of the false prophets. Then even the names of some of the false prophets are held up to execration. Ahab, the son of Koliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all them of the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, The Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord. It is noted in the Cambridge Bible that Koliah, curse, Kalila, and roast, Kala, are three such similar words that a play on them, as used in these verses, seems to be intended. The son of Koliah was to be called Kalilah, a curse, because the king of Babylon, Kalah, roasted him in the fire. It may have been for sedition or for an attack on Babylonian worship that the two met their end. With this contrast, the divine protection of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom the king of Babylon could not roast in the fire, though they would not serve his gods. The villainies of the false prophets and the expression of the word of God, I know, I am a witness, reminds us of similar things in the prophecy of Revelation. The Lord Jesus says to each of the churches in turn, I know thy works. Ephesus was intolerant of villainy. Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Pergamos was more tolerant of Balaamism and Nicolaitanism. And the Lord threatened them, saying, Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The reference to the vile figs recalls the terms of chapter 24, where Zedekiah is named in connection with the expression as one who should go to Babylon, not for good, but to be consumed. And this soon came to pass. And then the exiles in Babylon would know for a certainty that Jeremiah was a true prophet and his enemies false. And all this should come upon Zedekiah and the false prophets because they have not hearkened unto my words, saith the Lord. Then the chapter closes with the specific reprobation of Shemaiah the Elamite, or as the margin expresses it, the dreamer. On this expression, the Cambridge Bible says, the place or family referred to is not otherwise known. But is it a place or family? It would seem not, but rather a profession, as in chapter 23, verses 25 to 32. In the irreverent East, dreamers were seen as diviners, and God did in fact reveal things to men in dreams, but there were dreams and dreams, chaff dreams and wheat dreams, to use the expressive language of the passage quoted. Joseph and Daniel illustrated the latter kind. And the visions out of their own hearts in the cases of the false prophets illustrated the former. Discrimination was necessary. The test was the fulfillment of the proclamation in any case. Shemaiah the Nehelamite presumed to write letters in his own name to Jerusalem and to Zephaniah, inciting the people against Jeremiah because of his prophecy of the 70 years and his advice to the captives to seek the peace of Babylon. But Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. So the Babylonian dreamer could not corrupt Zephaniah, nor stir him up against the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Send to all them of the captivity, saying, Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, Because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie, therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among his people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. If Jeremiah were a true prophet, then of course Shemaiah would be dead before the end of the captivity period, and so the terms of Jeremiah's rebuke cover his posterity as well as himself. He shall not have a man to dwell among his people. The outworking of the history of Israel abundantly proved the truth of Jeremiah's prophecy, and the dreams and visions of Nebuchadnezzar himself and of the prophet Daniel in Babylon showed further light upon the purpose of God according to election and the final restoration of Israel, which we now believe to be imminent.